This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo! Hey.
Hey. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
So I can just write whatever I want down for this movie and now it'll be called that forever?
Forever.
So, Live, Die, Edge of Tomorrow is now going to be Alien Shoot 'Em Ups.
Ooh, I like that title.
I
didn't expect that, did you?
Mission Impossible 4.5.
4.5, I like it. Alien Shoot 'Em Up. All right. So this week we're talking about Alien Shoot 'Em Up.
Alien Shoot 'Em Up. Definitely
Alien
Google it.
Movie Club.
Movie Club. So now, be honest, Jeff. Is it orange juice or is it a mimosa? It's okay. It's okay if it is. It's Sunday.
I wish it was a mimosa. But no, it's just standard orange juice. I will. But on the title thing again.
Right back to it.
It's just interesting because based on what you guys told me about them just like switching the name completely, on Apple TV, it was literally listed as, it was listed as Edge of Tomorrow, but when I paused it, it said, Live, Die, Repeat, : Edge of Tomorrow.
Correct. So, the whole thing's based off of, Brand is not starting it, so I'm just going. Jeff, it started off, it's a novel of All You Need Is Kill. Like, that's what the movie is based off of, a Japanese novel. When they were working on it, they were calling it, like, the working title was All You Need Is Kill. And then everyone decided that they didn't like that. So then the director wanted it to be called Live, Die, Repeat. And the executives in the studios wanted it to be called Edge of Tomorrow. And the director did not like that. He hated that. So then it went to theaters as Edge of Tomorrow. And it did not make a lot of money. I mean, it made like, I want to say 350, maybe 375 or 370 or something like that total in the run. So barely broke even. And then when they decided when they came to streaming and stuff like that, they didn't like completely switch the title, which I thought they did. But they took the image and made Live, Die, Repeat the largest thing on there and shrunk Edge of Tomorrow. And then they put it out, like you said, they put it out a lot of places, Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. So it's one of those things where like they didn't technically change it, but they were only referring to it as Live, Die, Repeat, or like that was like the big thing they were trying to put forward rather than Edge of Tomorrow. I mean, when I typed in, like if you go to IMDb and type in Live, Die, Repeat, I believe that comes up, Edge of Tomorrow.
But all the main listings are still Edge of Tomorrow for sure. It's still mostly that.
I think so. I think they have ultimately like reverted now that it made such a big
comeback.
Yes. I mean, you know, hey, Brandon, it's a cult classic because it has so much bigger when it was on streaming and, you know, DVDs and stuff, because it came out in 2014, so there's still like some DVDs here and there. So since then, you know, they do now hypothetically have a possible sequel, but I'm pretty sure that thing's been rumored for, you know, it's been 10 years since this came out. So he's still like trying to crack the sequel or prequel or who knows, you know.
Right, exactly, because how do you do the sequel when you've killed the thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's not real, Brandon.
Yes, it is. We just watched it all happen.
No. The sequel's not real. He recently was like, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to sit down and try to crack the sequel. It's going to be, you know, I love that shit where it's like, oh, it's going to redefine what sequels are. And they're like, dude, you got to like make it for it to redefine what sequels are.
All right, sweet. Look out for that.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone hasn't guessed, we are talking Edge of Tomorrow.
Or Live, Die, Repeat.
What we watch.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Movie Club.
The working title for the quote-unquote sequel is Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Or Live, like Die, that. Repetitive.
Live, Die, Cliche.
Live, die, and then I just want the coda sign that's, you know, on in music. That's what I want.
The rumored stars are Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. Crazy.
Weird.
But it's only rumored. It's only rumored.
Yeah. I don't know. I think those are pretty big movie stars now. I don't know if they could afford to get them. Not like when they made the first one and they were cheap to get.
I don't know if Tom Cruise was cheap to get still.
I was going to say, Emily Blunt, I bet, could be cheap. But even still, Emily Blunt, I doubt it. Because that Emily, where The Devil Wears Prada, The Adjustment Bureau.
Yes, that was the joke.
Okay.
Oh. Why now all of a sudden would they not be able to afford it? What was different about the two times? You think they're bigger stars now than they were before? Is that the joke?
Nope. That they were big stars. They're big action
sarcasm.
Stars.
The sarcasm that usually goes over
we're
my
starting
head.
Starting early. This is going to go smoothly.
Yeah, but like,
I can't wait.
But like, there has to be something different between the two situations. It feels like the same situation.
That's what was the sarcasm. Like, he was just like, he's saying,
just pointing out that it's the same. Should I say, nobody said like, oh, now they're cheap or how easy it's going to be made.
We'll just move on.
The somehow fact that it's the same
I'm getting where he's coming from and you're not for once.
Hey, it's kind of cold out today.
I feel it in my bones.
It is raining.
It's now cold. It's now cold today. So I guess that, hey, sarcasm.
That's why we're doing this. Anyways, all right. So this Looper. Concludes our time travel month. I was really happy with these time travel picks, actually. Yeah, I had never seen Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat over and over.
I saw it like last year.
Edge of Tomorrow.
And Jeff, you saw it last year?
Yeah, like, but relatively recent. Like, Matt brought it up to me like a year or so ago, and then I was like, oh, I've never heard of that even. And then I watched it when it was on, like, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I had to rent it.
I don't remember when the first time I saw it was. I don't remember.
Sounds like
I didn't
you
see
saw
it
when it came. Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, I definitely didn't see it in theaters. I remember it coming out in theaters and, like, watching the previews and stuff. And I'm almost positive I did not see it in theaters.
I kept getting it confused with Oblivion for a while when you were first talking to me about it.
I get that. That makes sense.
It's totally fair.
Yeah, just big robot suits and things going on. But
Emily Blunt was
Oblivion
in My Little
came
Pony
out right
movie.
Around the same time.
Hmm. Oblivion?
Yeah. Oblivion came out, 2013. So that one actually came out first.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise's face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise's face. What?
Which
I actually couldn't remember if it was a different
actor or not,
but...
Which also is similar to Elysium with Matt Damon that came out in
2013. That's the other one.
Yes,
I was like, that's whose other face I was mixing with Oblivion.
I mean,
with the mech suit and everything.
I mean, yeah, I guess a little bit.
So
I mean, it's
all these were definitely in development around the same time. All right, so I need to see who did what, where.
He started talking to himself again, Matt.
I know.
TriStar like, did.
He starts talking to himself in the middle of his normal sentence, so then I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to still be listening.
TriStar did Elysium.
There's also the Will Smith one with his kid, whatever his fucking kid's name is.
Oh, yeah. What's that one called? Universal did Oblivion.
After Earth?
Yeah, After Earth.
Did I nail that?
TriStar, Universal, and...
That was 2013 also.
Warner Brothers were all clearly in competition with the similar idea.
After Earth had a 4.8.
Ooh.
That's probably why I didn't see it.
But yeah, this is the first time I watched Edge of Tomorrow because I kind of didn't think when I heard it, was being released. It just didn't seem very interesting to me. It didn't seem like a super original take on it. It looked kind of cheesy. Like, I wasn't enthralled by the previews from what I had seen from a decade ago. Mm-hmm. So I went in with very low expectations, and I enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yes,
it's a fun mix of like Hollywood classic with a somewhat cliche kind of time travel.
Yeah.
Thing going on.
Yeah.
But they spun it enough that it felt very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did their own take on like Groundhog's Day. I would say like similar to, you know, Palm Springs, where it's like, it is definitely that same concept, but they did their own version of it. And it was this one was definitely more, I think, more action than any of the other ones that we've talked about or watched at all this month. But yeah, it's definitely, that's how I describe it, as fun. And it felt more like a video game than like a sci-fi than anything, with the checkpoints and like restarts and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then, yeah, towards the end, it's like, nope, I'm out of lives. We cannot die.
Well,
I know.
No real rules were explained. Nothing. Brandon's like, oh, this one's so much more simpler, because they don't explain shit. They're like, hey, this can reset time. How? Why can it? How does it connect to the other things? What is it? The blood that they have, like a Wi-Fi blood? Is that what it is?
A Wi-Fi blood?
I guess.
Wi-Fi blood.
Well, the alpha dies, it triggers an automatic reset.
Yeah,
but the omega is the thing that resets time.
Yes.
So then, why can the alpha? Is it triggered? It has to be the blood. But then, how does that like?
No, the I would blood say is the thing that triggers it'd be it. The neural pathways or connections being stopped when it dies.
Yeah, but that works for Tom Cruise's also.
Well, no, just
not
because...
a creature. No, when Tom Cruise dies, it triggers a reset. So it definitely.
Right. Oh, Wi-Fi blood. I see what you're saying. That it's all about its blood. I see what you're saying.
Again, they didn't explain shit. They were just like, "Hey, don't worry about it. It's time travel," which is a very it's a smart concept. Just go. Don't worry about it. Back to the Future, Looper, Edge of Tomorrow. It just works. We have other things that we want you to focus on. Don't dwell on this.
I can let the alpha's blood thing like slide by and not think about it too much. But the one that got me this time was the omega's blood at the end. Because then the omega dies, the blood gets in Tom Cruise. He goes back in time even further, but then the omega is still dead. Like they changed. The history, I don't know. I don't get that part of
that. That was the one thing I felt. I was like, well, that felt cheap. I mean, I like the payoff and I like that. Oh, yay, we got a happy ending. But that one to me definitely felt like, that doesn't fit the rest of the storyline.
I agree with you. Well, one, they kept saying one day when in reality it was 2 days. That was kind of driving me crazy because he woke up in the morning and then he's like, tomorrow there's going to be a war. And she's like, you have to die by the end of the day. First off, but what's the end of the day? Midnight, dark? Aliens keeping our same time? Is that what we're saying?
Why
is it a day?
They didn't describe that either. Yeah, like no one ever went past the 24 hours, and so no one really, I don't know. Yeah, they just kept saying that the Omega reset a day. And
so you say
so they
24
were like, therefore
hours,
I have to die before.
But it was more than
24
hours.
Yeah, no, so exactly. I get where you're coming from. That's the second one that kind of I was just like, I don't really quite understand. Like, they don't have a watch and they're like, oh shit, the day's almost over. I have to kill myself real quick.
Exactly. And then it's like, why is the aliens keeping human time? And they're like, when it hits midnight, we've decided. And it's definitely blood, because at the end they pumped blood into him, which cycled out the other blood. So that was just, that is definitely his blood.
It is blood.
But it was 2 days.
Wi-Fi blood.
It was 2 days. Blood. Yeah, that's what it is. 2 days of he wakes up and then he's got to. Go, and then they reset him to 3 days back or 4 days back. Yeah, dude, I liked 90% of it, except for the ending. I was like, dang it, we could have just I didn't need the weird awkward love story of him falling in love with her. I get it, it makes sense, but I just was like, it was just annoying when literally one of the scenes he's like, they're flying in there when they just brought a bunch of people to kill themselves for whatever reason that they did not need, but they're like, hey, let's go collect some people, they're all gonna die. the Ford or whatever was like, oh, what do we do, I can't kill the alpha, what do we do if it attacks me?
He's like, take one for the team.
Correct. Yeah. And then he immediately turns to Emily Blunt, they're the person they're following into war, and the best warrior, and goes, maybe you shouldn't go in. I'd be like, but fuck you, dude. I'm right here. You just told me to kill myself for the greater good. Why is the best? Why you like the best warrior shouldn't go in? Like,
because she's hot.
I would be so pissed off. That was the little things that I'm like, God, we did not need that.
Yeah, it makes sense for his character, so I'm okay with that. But I didn't like that Blunt's character kissed him. I hated that. I was like, it doesn't make sense. Again, I guess because she's been through it, she's like, all right, well, clearly you know me, so I'm going to give you the, you know, the satisfaction that you're clearly craving, even though it's weird for me.
I don't know you, but you know me. We should make out.
I've been told I'm attracted to you. Yeah, definitely what, yeah, the weird love, it totally makes sense. Him falling for her, but not the other way around. Mm-hmm. This had really great comedy, I thought. Like, small moments, you know, when he's doing the presentation or whatever, or like the guy does the presentation and it ends with, all right, really great for presentation. Honestly, fantastic. And he's like, he's trying to get out of it. I don't know why. I thought that was funny when he repeats what she's like, God, they're in the drop ship and the one cliche chick says something and he says the same thing and she's like, jinx, bitch. Yeah. I don't know why. That reaction was very funny to me.
Yeah, there are a lot of little quips, a lot of little moments that were very on-brand sarcastic, and I definitely enjoyed those. It also kind of, like, at least right off the bat, like, all of the exposition about, like, how aliens had landed and how, like, we need you to join the army or whatever and go fight these things. It was given off really, it was given off major Starship Trooper vibes is what it was given.
Yeah, I could see that.
I agree.
Yeah. And then jumping back into the comedy a bit, I don't think the lines hit me the same way it hits you guys, but the things that made me laugh the most was just the stupid ways he was dying at first. Just like, hit by truck, reset.
Yes, hit, yes.
Like, other dumb thing. which is like totally...
truck.
Like, totally in reality, that's how it would go down. It's like you die by all these stupid little things, and then... Yeah.
They, why did...
Trips and, yeah, just...
Bill Paxton was able to get an extra line out when he was dying by the truck. All the other times we had a hard reset. But then that time when he got ran over, they're like, nah, we'll give Paxton a line on the way out and then we'll reset.
What was it? He's like, what the hell is he trying to do or whatever? Remember.
But it was, I chuckled. I thought Bill Paxton did a good job.
I did not know that was Bill Paxton until the credits rolled.
Oh, really?
Same.
Yeah.
100%.
I was like, holy shit.
He did good.
I do not recognize that actor.
Not as good as Full Metal Jacket guy, but
yes.
But still,
that drill sergeant.
That's still good. Fucking Christ,
you're strobing me, man.
I know. Fuck you, bitch. Totally. Totes.
Totes.
Plus, Brendan Gleeson was like hilarious, actually, in his stoicism and his just uncaring, unbudging, not budging, whatever word you want to use.
Non-budgosity.
How he just wouldn't you know?
Was that
Mad
Eye Moody?
Any emotion?
Was that Mad Eye Moody?
Yes.
Okay.
Or the kid from About Time's dad.
No.
No, that's Bill Nye, not the science guy.
Not the science guy.
His real life dad, Donnell Gleason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's his real life dad. Brandon Gleason, Steven Gleason, Joe Gleason. I think there's a third one too, isn't there? Or there's another one?
I think so. Many Gleasons.
The whole damn family is people.
I don't remember their family tree, no.
Let me pull up their family tree. But anyways, yeah, he was great. I thought his acting was really good. You know, I did not have problems. I mean, some of the freaking J Squad was a little cliche, generic-y. Acting was like fine. Other than that, I thought Blunt was good. I mean, I'm always a fan of Tom Cruise's acting. I think he does a good job all the time. Gleason, we know. Emily Blunt, you know, I think I already said she did good. She's also hot. So there's that. You guys take what you want from that.
Lucky John Krasinski.
Go ahead,
random question about like the story stuff, but why do they call
mine
them
was
mimics?
Also random. Mimics.
Like, because they don't mimic anything.
It's a cool name.
They mimic time. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they kind of mimic like what the battle is doing so they can mimic because they know what's going to happen.
I appreciate the stretch, but
how long was the beginning, like when they first landed on Earth, to this big battle? Like, how long of a time span was that?
I don't know. I didn't really specify. I imagine months. I don't know.
Okay, see, that would make more sense to me, because if it's been like years or something, I'm like, how do these freaking aliens not win by now? They're vastly superior to. Also, what are the odds that, like, while they're going through, like, you know, resetting constantly, that just a random alpha didn't die somewhere and they just get reset, like, in the middle without somebody dying? Like, you'd think that, right? Just by odds wise, because how many freaking times he reset to the point, like, I really feel like they leaned on Groundhog's Day, when Groundhog's Day, he kind of just knew all these things about people, but that's because, you know, he spent how many freaking
years?
Yeah, live sitting there talking to each individual. I don't get that vibe with Edge of Tomorrow. Like, I don't see him being like, okay, for the next year, I'm no longer trying to save the Earth. I'm going to get to know the J Squad. Because can you fathom how well you need to know somebody to find out that Ford is using somebody else's name,
right? Even just to get them to open up, like,
exactly.
You like
that's insane. Each individual person, can you fathom how long that would take to just show up? And you're gonna die half, you know, in a day anyway, so you have one day to work on them, and then it kind of resets every
just
time.
Just go up
too.
To everybody, hey, I love
hey.
You.
Hey, I'm gonna do this for a year, and eventually they're gonna tell me something deep. It's right. gonna be awesome,
right? I mean, that's what Loki season two did. Is you know, he only had a certain 10 seconds or so, and he just spent thousands of years learning the technology and
he learned science,
quantum physics, exactly, to be able to operate this machine. And you only have like this short, tiny bit of time. So, like, how long can that possibly fucking take?
I understand that when you have one fucking thing to do. And I'm down with this for how much it took and how much he learned about saving the world. But instead, those are drastic right turns to be like, fuck this whole thing. For the next 10 years, I'm going to work on getting to know all these people for fun. Even though it has nothing to do with anything. It's like one thing, it's like, okay, I can only do this. If Groundhog's Day, he had to save the world and then knew all the stuff about people, I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, there's a lot of shit going on.
For real.
I can only imagine how tedious it would be to figure out how to get through that battle, too. It's like,
what kind of memory these people have?
I know. You can't even write it down or anything, because then you're just going to lose that by the time you reset.
That's a very good point.
You'd have to be like an actor to remember all those lines.
Hey, they were in Sing Sing. They were teaching him how to memorize lines. That's what he was. That's what he was doing. Go by actions, because especially it's like. But that's what it felt like, a video game wise. Why I call it I refer to it as like a video game movie. It felt like is, you know, you'd take so long to learn the skill, and then suddenly you can do it constantly.
Yeah. Well, there are even moments in like Fallout. Like, I know Brandon's probably more familiar with Fallout, but. There are times when you're like relying on your charisma when you're talking to somebody to unlock some, like, to make them give you some sort of like information. Yeah, I literally have saved before I talk to this person and tried 10 times until that 10% chance actually like works, and then I'm just like, yes, all right, we're moving forward from here.
Got what I wanted first try. Totally.
Yeah. So I get the video game angle.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to have a save point option in my life, because I'd love to do that kind of stuff and be like, all right, what would happen if I said this? What would happen if I did this? Oh, that definitely didn't work. And then get to go back to the save point. And okay, that never happened. And I get to try it again.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Isn't that like the same concept for like Click and with Adam Sandler? Isn't it called Click? Adam Sandler?
I believe so, yeah.
And
it is not Click.
Rick and Morty does something similar with that too. Like,
yes.
It's a really fun concept to think about.
It is. Click, I think, was a lot more about like fast forwarding through the boring parts of your life.
I don't remember exactly. Go back. I remember I was very sad at the end. I was very emotional. Yeah, I mean, he went back. He did a lot of weird stuff. He went backwards and forwards. And
So he could go forwards. Yeah, and Rick and Morty, it was just to go back to your checkpoint that you designated. And then at a certain point, Morty started living this crazy life, went through such turmoil with this, like, girl that he falls in love with and everything. And then someone accidentally hits the button, and then he resets all the way back, and she doesn't even know him anymore. Like years had passed or something. Oh,
I remember just like, oh my God, I can't put myself in that character's shoes. I'm going to go insane.
Yeah.
And then I think even Futurama even did something similar as well. I think it was their original series finale where Fry was like, oh, I can't be late to this date with Leela. It's really important.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then, dies constantly.
That's right. I do remember that. It's been a while for Futurama.
Yep. I mean, even Lost kind of explored the concept of less about time, but I mean, a little bit, but about if you save someone who's destined and supposed to die, then they're always going to die. No matter what you do, the universe is going to find a way to kill that one person.
Well, classic time machine movie talked about that too. That was an option that we could have done.
The only thing with the time machine I picture is when he has to like grab the God, it's like a necklace or something outside a sphere, and his hand ages. That's the only thing I remember from it. That and
oh man, the warlocks. The warlocks with the big faces and like the long hair.
Now that you bring it up.
Oh God, it's nostalgia for sure.
God, it's something fierce. What's the main guy?
God, I'm blanking on his name.
I know. He's the dude from Memento.
Yes. What is his name?
Guy Ritchie?
Guy Pierce.
Other guy.
2002.
Oh man, nostalgia.
Yeah, for real.
So what what was your favorite CGI moment of Live, Die, Repeat?
Edge of Tomorrow?
Sure.
Favorite CG?
That's what I said. Live, Die, Repeat.
I mean, it all generally looked pretty good to me. There wasn't any parts that stood out like a lot. Not like the whale and Castaway or something. Like, that was just the first example I could think of.
I have one off the top of my head. I kind of liked how he looked when like the blood got on him, maybe.
That was horrifying. I love that. That was awesome.
It's like melting him like alien alien blood.
That's what I was thinking.
Or it could have just been hot from exploding from a claymore or whatever, but I don't know. It did look cool.
That's very true. I didn't think about that. doesn't mean the blood got on him before he died. Mm-hmm. And with the claymore.
That's super lucky.
Yeah, it is.
it's super lucky. That's why this movie exists.
And then he got that same luck again from the Omega. Uh-huh. It's like they need to do something about their blood. It just gets everywhere.
I really like the alien designs, like those mimics actually looked, especially like the Alpha. Like it was like this like flame dragon kind of fucking thing.
It's kind of like the Balrog from like Lord of the Rings. It had like breathed. It like had this glowy energy and stuff. It looked really cool.
It was super, super cool.
But they also moved really quickly.
That comparison, Brandon?
I do. Just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean I don't know what he's talking about.
The Balrog? Oh, okay. I don't even know what he's fucking talking about.
The Balrog?
I
mean, it's the big fire demon in the Mines of Moria.
Ah, heard.
God, I sounded so nerdy just for a second.
I sent him shit, man.
But no, I like the way that they played it off really well, because the creature design in particular, they moved so freaking fast that it's like, it's hard to really look at it too and like break it apart as far as CG. So I think they hit it well in a sense for that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, no, I liked it. Some people like when, say, Transformers, they don't like it then, because it's like when you can't see exactly what everything moves like, people don't like that. But then this one, I think, was a good choice to, it's not really, I'm okay with it. I was okay with them being like faceless for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what they look like, but they rarely stood there and I could go, okay, so that's that. Other than the Alpha, I guess. The Alpha was pretty slow.
Yeah, and the Omega was like a flower or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Been like a Venus flytrap.
Yep.
Connected to time.
Another question for these creatures. So every time they went into battle, I was like, what are these people getting hit by? Like the humans. They're like shooting little fireballs, I guess.
I think so.
But I never see them when they're like human to like creature shooting the fireball still. They just like grab them and throw them around and stuff. So I was very confused by that.
Yeah, I guess they can generate either fireballs or some kind of like missile.
Yeah.
Because they definitely were shooting, like the mimics were shooting at the humans when they were flying. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Obviously that's what hit the cargo plane, but...
Mm-hmm. And hit Tom Cruise through the chest at one point as well, too.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So, like, I just thought that they never... Whenever we actually saw the creatures, we did not see them shooting that stuff. They were just running around. And then whenever there was, like, ranged attacks going and you couldn't see them, there were, like, fireballs flying through the air. So that was just interesting.
Close combat, they out of respect, they didn't shoot the fireballs. They're like, you know what?
Samurais in that way.
I would never disrespect the
see my enemy, I look at their eyes. As the
video game rules, right? We have different requirements. Hey, we have close combat and ranged combat. Uh-huh. Close is my enemy.
The AI is working in certain ways there.
Honestly, thinking about like just kind of the concept of how Tom Cruise, how his character wasn't like given any information and just kind of thrown into the situation with the mech suit instead of, you know, they still gave him the suit and, you know, said, hey, go, you know, run into battle because they wanted to kill him. Why not just not give him the suit then? Like thinking about how if other situations like in real life, you were given something and not told how to use it. And then, you know, Groundhog Day, basically, until you figured out how to use it. Like you were given no instruction manual, you were given no training or tutorial or anything like that. Sounds kind of shitty.
I think on paper, it's less frowned upon if they were to be like, did you guys give him a suit? And they were like, yeah. He's like, oh, well, then I guess he just died like everyone else.
Well, you know, I also don't think they were like that. There was their goal was to kill him. I think they just didn't give a shit that he died, was going to die, probably.
We want
fodder kill them while we kill you, kill him while we kill them.
Yeah.
And but also the thought of they have too many suits for people. Because I feel like it'd be better just put a qualified human being in there.
Exactly.
The notion of like, oh, we have this extra suit. Let's just throw this random ass dude who's never touched one before. Instead of, I have a freaking, military base full of trained officers when we're in a big battle.
Going back to the beginning of it, that also like... kind of is confusing to me or baffles me a bit is that they're just like, we need this guy to go into the front line tomorrow. Like, I'm ordering you, and if you bail out of this, like, you're gonna be arrested and shit like that. It's like, I don't understand that they were just like, we have to get this guy onto the front line.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily we have to get this guy. I think Gleese, the general... wanted him to go and make him look good, and then he just doesn't take, you know, disrespect or blackmail well, and he's just like, well, fuck you then. I'm just gonna, how dare you blackmail me? I'm gonna send you to a black fucking pit.
But he was already gonna send him there, right? He was talking about sending him to the front line before he started blackmailing him.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between sending him to the front lines to be in the back and take some camera videos and minimum casualty.
That's what they were sending him there for?
Yes. He was supposed to go take some footage and make him look good. Then when he blackmailed him, he goes, go fuck yourself. And now you're going to be a no-named grunt.
Uh-huh. Squad J, bitch.
Squad J.
J Squad.
I feel so bad that they just went to go kill them. That's all he did. They were like, we need more people. I'm like, I don't think you did. Because then the scene was they crashed in the plane. All of them except for three of them died. Mm-hmm. And I guess you needed two of them to distract them. And then they even died too. It's like... Mm-hmm. It was, I felt so bad. I'm like, what do you get? You guys are assholes.
Poor J Squad.
Hey, J Squad, you guys want to come and die?
It's like, you guys either die out there or you might survive this way. I don't know yet.
You're the only ones who can help us.
Yeah, for real.
The only ones who I can convince to help me. That's what it was. It was a classic Tom Cruise movie because he was on a motorcycle. We got to have it.
He does love motorcycles.
Yep.
I think he actually did the stunt of when he was in the cot after he wakes up and had got his blood exchanged too. I think he actually did right? Flip. Like the fall over and then landing in the weird way. Yeah.
No, I would say so, yeah.
I didn't see anything.
Because he like lands on the ground and the shot's already there and it's him. So, which seemed kind of fun though, because like he's strapped in and then the way the bars were set, you don't touch the ground.
Yeah.
It'd be real sketch the first time. Be like, let me watch somebody else not bash their head. Because his head wasn't pinned down, like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Hey, we're back to 127 hours. You guys, you're not worried about bashing your head, you know? Just keep your head straight. It'd be fine.
Exactly.
That's the only part that I was like, you flip. Doosh, fuck.
Yeah, whiplash.
And then the next shot is just a giant red mark on his forehead.
Yeah. No. Going back to story, I have something else with story wise. I really liked the reveal. Like, so the entire movie, I'll take a step back. With the entire movie, we're following Tom Cruise, and each time, almost every time, he goes back in time and resets, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the time him and Emily Blunt get to like the barn, and he's like giving her the coffee, and he's like, you know, yeah, three sugars, right? That's what you like. I loved the reveal that we were like we were with him, and we thought this was the first time where they were there. And then the reveal subtly of just like, with Emily Blunt being like, how many fucking times have we done this?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that was really fun. That was a fun twist.
That was good. Once he said three sugars, I was like, okay, well, they've been here before.
The first thing was like, she's like, I can't believe you found coffee.
And then sugar.
And then she's like, thank you. And he's like, you like three, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And then it's just like, wait a second.
They were so laxative. Hold on.
Granted, how the hell would you know that?
Yeah. Granted, the thought that like now he's decided. We watched her die a trillion times before they even got off the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now he's decided, well, now this is impossible. Also, if there's a mimic right there, can't you guys just kill the mimic? You know where it is. You just told me where it was. You know the mimic is buried under there. Can I not bring a grenade and place it right on top and then run away?
Well, he said there's one like 20 yards or whatever meter. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. A little ways out. And then there's more even further out from that. But yeah, like you're saying, after he gets fed up with it, he just ditches her, goes there himself, kills all of them. And it's like, could you not have just like told her to stay back and you did that and then bring her? I don't know.
She's holding you back. I'm like,
he clearly tried that option. Right. Obviously, he tried that.
He still had the fucking suit like with batteries when he got to the house, to the barn this time. I'm like, she wastes so much battery, I guess. It was interesting because we didn't get any explanation about that too.
Mm-hmm.
What, the battery?
Well, so they briefly
just them as a whole, him ditching her, and then it went so much better. Batteries included in that.
When he got fed up, he was getting suited up, and he told the guy extra batteries, eight grenades, all this shit.
That was after he went to the barn by himself. I thought that was...
No, that was for in preparation to take out all those ones.
Yeah.
Okay, heard. I'll take your word for it.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah. That was when he got fed up with it, because when Blunt killed herself, basically, by trying to fly the helicopter, he's like, fuck it. I can't explain this to you anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm just doing it myself. Going rogue, going solo, because I know what to do, and clearly I'm the only one who can save it.
And that's when he gets to the dam and finds out the dam's not the spot.
Yeah.
I didn't think of him doing that because he's fed up with her and she's holding him back. It felt much more like, I can't emotionally deal with watching her die anymore.
That's how I got it, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I took it as.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that moment, yeah, for sure, was absolutely astounding, because, and it was set up so well from the first interaction with that other doctor dude, you know, the scientist who had created the tech to, I guess, reset or kill the Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's like, all right, how many fingers am I holding up? And, you know, it's the first time I've done this. Don't worry. It's the first conversation. So it was set up so well, so brilliantly that it's like, okay, cool. So we know what the situation looks like when it's the first time. And Cruz just knocked out of the park in that scene in that way of helping subvert that expectation of, you know, hiding that plot point and hiding that reveal. Mm-hmm. Expertly done. Expertly done.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like that scene, like I remember him walking in and he just immediately goes to the table like they have like a cloth over it or whatever the plot and plans. He just instantly goes there and then he's just like, you're going to tell me the number two, like you're holding two fingers up and then just keeps going on. I mean, I guess that is the best way to convince people that you're time traveling.
Honestly.
Like,
well, like yeah, because think about that. Out. You're just living your normal life and then someone just fucking strolls up to you that you've never met before and just tells you everything about yourself. You're like, In what fucking way?
Like, Cammy's going to come in right now, meow twice, and then scratch you on the arm. You're going to say ow, and you're going to be a little frustrated. It's like, when it happens, you're just like...
Yeah, if they tell me something that's about to happen, I'm probably believing them more. Mm-hmm. If they're just telling me things about myself, that just seems like you're a spy that has done a lot of research on me.
Yeah,
I don't think of that personally.
Stranger danger.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm special enough to be researched.
Well, that's why I'm not, wouldn't convince me. If it was like, you know, this is about to happen, this is about to this is about to happen, then I'm like believing them more. But if he's just like, you know, I don't know, some weird childhood thing, I'm like,
yeah, your middle name is this.
It's like, call my mom. What the fuck is this?
Yeah. Agreed.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
I don't know. I want to say that I would be the one who's more easily who believes it quicker than the two of you if someone were to tell me they were a time traveler, but I don't know.
Note to everybody, hey Brandon, I'm a time traveler. God, I would love it if people just trying to convince you that they're time travelers constantly.
Like, Brandon, if you just go into a dark space and just clench, you should time travel.
I haven't tried it actually, so all right, I'll be right back.
Heard. Well, we can finish this if you want to go try.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
Do you guys think that you could learn that mech suit as quickly as Cage did?
I mean, I would assume so. What? I mean,
it's like
start
pushing buttons until things start happening.
I was going to say, that's what it.
And then if you die, right, you just reset. All right, don't push that button.
Especially
but like, if you're just button mashing and then you're like, oh, shit, what button did I actually press?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't personally just press them all. I'd be like, because your hands are like stuck in there. So you only have limited amount of like buttons you can even press or pull or do. So I just go, okay, one. Oh, what did that do? Two. What did that do? You know, as I'm on the battlefield, just be like, I'm going to point everything forwards just in case. Just going to press a bunch of shit and go down the line and see what happens. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would be possibly dead before that happens. Because also the drop ship system didn't seem to work. I was like still tethered to the fucking ship crashing.
While it's fucking crashing. I know. I was like, how convenient that, you know, he's tethered to the ship that's falling out of the sky, and then the one blast or something cuts his cable. It's like, oh shit, that was good timing.
We also he's great at surviving plane crashes. The climax plane crash, ass was getting
got thrown around like rag dolls.
He was outside the plane and then it crashed into a building, then he just like slides down.
Well, he was even hanging on to the gun and his body was flailing around. I was like, way are your joints not like destroyed?
At some point he became Superman.
Right.
He's as strong as an alpha.
Interesting things about the initial like time repeats. Like, so the first time he does fall, like his tethered cable drops him and he lands. He obviously lands like face first into the water. But I don't know if you guys noticed, but his visor popped out. And then the second time that happened, he still fell into face into the water, but his visor didn't pop out that time, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if that was on purpose. But
that's supposed to signify society's feelings towards visors.
Towards and not being able to see clearly.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yeah, what does a visor represent?
Economics. I did really like the early, my vibe on the whole movie was as it went farther, I kind of got a little bit less and less. Like, I loved the beginning of it when he first you know, starts repeating.
Yeah.
His acting in that whole, in the situations, him like mm-hmm. feeling out the stuff. I really, mm-hmm. really enjoyed it. And I thought they did a good job of like taking the small steps forwards.
Right. Even on that standpoint, I like that it was after the second death and the third repeat, he finally realized, like, I need to tell all these people, like, you're going to die tomorrow. Like, he got to it really quick. Like, the second time, you were just like, what the fuck is happening? And then the third time, you're like, all right, it's definitely repeating. Yep.
Am I crazy? No, I need to say something. Which just feels like the natural, like, you know, next step.
Yeah, yes. Agreed. So I thought that played out really well, too.
Very logical. I mean, even the last step, which I'm calling the SpongeBob reference. I don't care what anybody says. It's definitely a SpongeBob reference. When they get that device and he's like, Rita's like, all right, well, what do we do now? And he's like, I don't know. We've never got this far before. It definitely reminded me of Plankton. 100%. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, I get it. I watched SpongeBob this year. Yep.
SpongeBob wasn't I missed that crave. But he's a little tiny little dude. Is that a direct or is that just in general you think it sounds like Plankton?
In general,
I mean, it's a pretty direct quote. Like, that's exactly what he says.
I don't remember that. I just remember Plankton always being like, here's my plan. And then when he finally works, he's just like, oh, I don't know what to do now. It's like, I didn't think this was going to work.
I'll find the meme and I'll send it to you.
I'm okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, though. I believe
you. I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm okay. I got you. It won't take long.
SpongeBob is one of those that I never got, but it was like one small, like younger than me, I feel like everybody loved SpongeBob still. Mm-hmm. And I just missed that. I definitely missed that wave.
Yeah.
It's so quotable.
Yeah, SpongeBob. That's when people say his name.
SquarePants?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just quoting SpongeBob. People say his name at some point. So I was quoting when they in the show say his name. Gotcha. I watch it. Oh, hey, I'm cool. I'm hip. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See. That's what I was doing. It was an homage to other people in the show. No.
Did you guys like the ending? I mean, I know we kind of briefly mentioned how we didn't like how the Omega kind of took him back a few days before, and that didn't really make sense. But did you like getting that little, like, you know, send off, that emotional wrap up where, oh, I'm looking back on these people fondly, even though they have never met me before.
And I just got him killed. You know, as I was saying, it's like, as it went on and on, I didn't like it. Like, it got a little bit more cheesy, I guess, or like, I didn't love the ending. Like, I didn't want them to kiss. I wanted like more Twister side personally. And then I would have been down for like the one big walkthrough to be like, oh, I'm changing. Everything's going to change now, blah, blah, blah. But it made no sense that he went back that far. They would have had to make that make sense. Mm-hmm. And I would have been down with like the ending, the last shot of being like them looking at each other and being like, oh, we'll see what happens kind of, or he's going to win her kind of. But like, we already had like the kiss and stuff. So without the kiss, I would have liked that ending. But
better. Yeah.
Yes. But ultimately, you got to make, it's got to make, like, they didn't, I don't know. I have no idea why he went back 2-3 days.
Yeah, I don't know. Omega yes, blood.
You're right. Omega blood. Is he Omega now? Can he put blood in other people? And then when they die, he resets time?
God, I hope
Let's
so.
Let's say yes.
Maybe that would be live, die, repeat, repeat.
That's how you break a sequel. Okay, cool.
Yeah, maybe it's that. And then he's going to repeat. He's going to go back and he's going to be the old version of his younger version in there. That'll be interesting.
Yes. I will say about this ending, like, I'm on the same page as far as the Omega, like, back in time plot line and stuff. It's just like, I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But the thing I do like about the ending is, like, I actually kind of do like the quick, abrupt ending on him, like, with a little laugh after seeing her and meeting her every time. And this is the time to move, like, that they move forward finally. Mm-hmm. I like that they cut to black, and I love the song that they cut to, like, right after that.
SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yes. No. I think it's called Love Me Again, but, like, the words and everything just really fit with it, like, the aesthetic and whatever, and I thought that was good.
Yeah. That last little shot and scene and stuff was good, but they didn't, unfortunately, didn't set up the whole, as a whole, which I could have lived with, you know. It's just other stuff happened before that I was getting. Like, for example, one of the cheesy is I like the reveal of the grenade pins. Was that for the alpha? Does the alpha understand the concept of grenades? And he's like, yes, I won. And then he reveals the pins and he's like, no, I didn't.
No.
The grenade pins.
So it's like, so performative as we were going, I'm creature.
Like, oh, guys.
It was more for Tom Cruise's character than the alpha.
I know.
It was just for like, the bitch.
It was for the audience. Did you like that ending, Brandon?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't like the blood. I didn't like going, you know, the Omega going back. I think, again, it would have been a more powerful sacrifice and a better story to have him, you know, die. And then we go back as the audience, or just move forward and be like, all right, cool. We, all of a sudden, you know, the J Squad, basically, they die. And it's J-Squad. Like, oh, you know, they mysteriously have disappeared. But then the rest of humanity is saved. That would have made more sense. But I do like that since we did go back, I did like the little send off. And I like the cut to black. It was a little bit of a tease. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, hey, fill in your own blank, you know, write mm-hmm. your own, you know, next chapter, if you will. You know, whatever you want these characters to do.
Yeah. So how do you feel about endings like that?
Depends on the movie. Okay. Generally, I like it.
Okay.
Generally, it's
bullshit. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
You want the
recap.
Generally, it leaves the door open for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, again, I don't know. Depends. I'm generally fine. Like, I kind of like open endings because I like being into fill in blanks and, you know, it kind of hands off the story a little bit to the audience and the viewers.
It all depends on like what questions they bring up. It's like if it's like there's a huge big question or a pivotal thing that we've been waiting for and then they don't show you, I'm like, go fuck yourself. But I, you know, if they don't say, oh, they got together, they had three kids, he became, you know, stuff like that, I'm like, I don't need any of that. But if they were like the whole time being like, this movie is about them getting together and if they're going to get together or not. And at the end, they don't give that to you. I'm like, fuck you people. What was I here for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Here for nothing. Nothing.
I agree.
I was trying to take notes during watching this movie and I just got so sucked into it that mm-hmm. I didn't really, really write a whole lot down. Like, I was very entertained by this one.
Yeah. No, it was really fun. Really fun.
Mm-hmm. I might have been packing and doing stuff. My limited time I have.
I get that.
Yep.
But I've seen it eventually. You know, I mean, I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it. I don't know actually how many times I've seen it. Maybe two or three. Not a ton.
You've had to have seen it three because you saw it before me, and this is my second viewing.
What does that mean? How does that make sense, Jeff? If I saw it before you... And
you
go,
said two
hey,
or three. I said you have to at least seen it three times.
No, that's not true. If I saw it before you and talked about it, that's one for me and zero for you. Then you went and saw it.
No,
so that's
you watched it. You caught it on Netflix, and that's when you told me about it again, and then I watched it. So I knew you watched it then as well.
I didn't see it in theaters.
I know, but
so
I'm
I bet
you
that was my first time I saw it.
It couldn't have been because you were telling me about it. Like you were telling me about it like as if you had seen it like years ago.
I don't believe you, Jeff.
I believe you.
I've never seen this before. This is the first time. This is the first time I've ever seen it. It's called All You Need Is Kill. No, it's called All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is Kill.
Live Edge Repeat.
All You Need Is Kill. Da-da-da-da.
This won the 2015 Alliance of Women Film Journalists Kick-Ass Award for Best Female Action Star.
Best Female Action Star of 2015. Well, who is she up against? Do you know?
2015?
No, Let's see if I can.
Alicia Vikander's Tomb Raider? Just kidding, I don't know.
All right.
I think that might have been actually like 2016 or something.
Holy shit, there's a lot of these.
I'll look up Alicia Vikander's Tomb Raider.
All right, so that was, wait, what? Most egregious age difference between the leading man and the love interest.
I was gonna look that up to find out.
That's another one.
Sure,
that's pretty
he's...
fucking funny. All right, so this one went to, okay, so she won it over Scarlett Johansson for Lucy and Jennifer Lawrence for The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
Hmm.
Ooh, best woman screenwriter. The Babadook was in that category. Lost to Gone Girl. Sorry, I'm looking at the other.
Interesting. Ooh.
I know, some
actress
of these,
defining age and ageism. Tilda Swinton won that over Julianne Moore and Meryl Streep. So they go, hey, we want to give an older woman an award.
I think we might need to co-op some of these awards. I'm not going to lie. Actress most in need of a new agent.
Nice.
Cameron Diaz over Jennifer Aniston or Melissa McCarthy. Oh, man.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. She's pretty badass in this. Tom Cruise has definitely got a boner, but I like that, you know, she wasn't the swooning type, except for, you know, kind of at the end, which was just like, I know I met you today, but I sense I love you. Not really. I mean, I guess she just kissed him like that. Who gives a shit about that?
I guess. Yeah. It definitely felt like, I'm giving you something that you clearly, you know, are hoping for. And I'm just, okay, I'm here.
I was thinking of Brandon getting kissed by Emily Blunt. Be like, okay, fine.
Okay. Three sugars.
Come here, Titch. Remember that you like three sugars? Come here. Oh, you don't remember that.
Whoops.
You will. All right.
That's all my
that's pretty much it. I mean, I think we covered all the bases. It was a fun turn your brain off kind of, you know, don't think about it too hard time travel movie.
I recognized I was wondering where I recognized the director. He just did Roadhouse. That was him.
Okay.
He did Roadhouse. Oh, he also did American Made. That one's actually pretty good. And I've talked about that before. We don't need to do that.
I haven't seen either.
Mrs. Mr. Smith. The Bourne Identity.
Oh.
Those are ones that Doug...
Lyman. Whatever.
Lyman.
Yes.
Lemon. Lemon.
Lemon. Lemon. Dog Lemon. Yes.
Dog Lemon.
He does action. He does print a bunch of action. And I think his action is good. Like... I'm trying to think of the fighting scenes and whatnot. Every once in a while, they were kind of jokey and just like someone gets flinged not naturally. But it's, you know, it's aliens. It's a video game movie and it's aliens and they're in mech suits. So it's like it kind of, you know, it checks out. It doesn't feel like out of place necessarily.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. The cinematographer, Dion Beebe. Babe? I don't know how to pronounce it. He did the Collateral with Tom Cruise back in 2004, or just Collateral.
Oh, Collateral.
2004, which I really liked that movie. He also did, but he's also mixed around with like the most recent and notable one being The Little Mermaid. He shot for Disney, the live action.
Holy shit.
So he's like got, completely different styles going on. Otherwise, he's got Gemini Man listed.
Yeah, because I mean, this one there didn't seem to be a ton of, you know, camera work. Really, there is some and stuff, but it just felt very, generalized action movie rather than, you know, kind of artsy. And you've talked before, you know, they're not really out there to show you that stuff. It's about the other shit.
Yeah, I mean, but like we've also been kind of talking about recently, is. This movie kind of knew what it was and it let the good part shine. Like, you know, the plot wasn't super convoluted. It was fairly simple. Hey, you know, the aliens are attacking. We don't need to know where they came from or why they're here, but they're attacking. I think there's even might be a mention of that. It's like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter why they're here. But they're here. And, you know, we get the stakes are raised pretty efficiently. The love story itself, you know, that feels wedged in, but that's kind of not in the way of the action and the enjoyable part of the time travel of, all right, the Groundhog Day aspect, you know, going back and living the same day and learning a little bit. And that was really kind of the whole point of this.
We've come so far from when Brandon was annoyed in Harry Potter when they didn't give background to Dudley's friends in the opening scene. And now it is. They didn't tell you where the aliens were, which is good. You know, we love that. We've come so far.
Maybe if I had read the graphic novel or whatever story before, and if there was a ton of backstory that they left out omitted, then yeah, I'd be irritated with it. Dudley's friends had meaning. They didn't need to be there in the fucking movie.
Oh God. Sweet. Are we gonna grade?
I think we should grade the movie. Matt, this was your pick.
Oh,
why'd
yeah.
you pick this?
I noticed we didn't do that. I
remember like 3 or 4 minutes into it. I was like, I'm not going to interrupt to derail us.
I chose it because I do feel like it's not a well-known movie necessarily. I know it picked up a lot of steam after theaters. But as a whole, if I talk to people about it, I feel like people don't know about it. And originally I was going to go with Palm Springs, but it didn't really feel like the same vibe as the other one. So I kind of want to keep in the vibe. So I just did a different version of a different version of a Groundhog's Day. So I went with Action Groundhog instead of rom-com Groundhog. And also, again, I kind of wanted to watch it to see how I do feel about it, because I've only seen it 2 times, Jeff. So yeah, that's why I chose Edge of Live, Die, Repeat, : Edge of Tomorrow. Alien shoot 'em up. : Alien shoot 'em up.
Parentheses.
No, it's just : on a :
Oh, double :
Live, Die, Repeat, : Edge of Tomorrow, : Alien shoot 'em up.
Part one.
And keep an eye out for Live, Die, Repetitive.
: Part two, Brandon.
Oh. Well, I missed part one. Shoot.
It might be the prequel. It might be a whole new type of sequel, man.
Never seen a sequel,
it's going to change. That'd be kind of badass. I'm not going to lie. That'd be kind of badass if somebody came out with a movie, labeled it part two, then made a sequel / prequel afterwards and named it part one from the get-go. That'd be kind of badass.
Well, he didn't name it, but Ty West's Pearl kind of did that.
Yeah, well, he didn't name it.
He just didn't name it that way.
That's why I want the first movie of a series I watch be called Part Two.
Closest
you
thing
want
we
that
have
just
is
because
Star
that's
Wars,
how
I
you
think.
Watch movies already.
Sometimes that is very true. That is sometimes. You brought up Hunger Games. I think I've only seen like the second to last one or last one maybe. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the others. I was kind of confused when I watched the last one. I was like, I didn't really know what was going on.
I believe that.
It's weird, right?
All right, Matt.
I need to grade it first also.
Do you think you want to grade this movie? Do you want a minute to think?
This is all the Matt section of the... I think I know generally where I think I want it to go. Because while I do think it was, you know, a clever concept, while it wasn't like completely original, it was still... you know, it didn't feel like a copy paste, like you said, of all the Oblivion and all those stuff. Like the style of the production design might have kind of given you that vibe, but it didn't feel like it was a copy paste of that really. And I like the concept. I like the beginning part a ton. Like I said, as we went on, you know, I like it a little bit less and less. You know, whenever we grade these things, it's kind of comparing to recent stuff we've seen. So when I'm looking at my grades, while I do really enjoy it, I don't think I can have it over Tenet to me. Because Tenet just has much more like visual that gives boosts and whatnot. And Edge of Tomorrow to me was pretty standard practice. I'm not saying it looked bad by any means, but nothing wowed me. The aliens looked good, but I personally wasn't necessarily watching it going, wow, that looks so amazing, or, you know, they really went above and beyond. So, you know, it was a fun time travel action movie that I'm going to put on the same level as, like, Monkey Man and Nope, I think, at 7.75.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I think so. Midsommar is at that level. Fantastic Mr. Fox, where it's like it's got goodness within it.
Good goodness.
But it definitely didn't, necessarily blow my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So 7.75.
Okay. 7.75.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm around the same range. I guess, again, because I had such low expectations and I was so entertained by this, it's hard to kind of reel in exactly how I feel about this, because I had a lot of fun with this. I thought it was packed full of action that I was able to follow and that made sense, and it wasn't like super overly gratuitous or overly graphic just for the sake of being graphic. And it was full of humor as well, and it was my style of humor, you know, that sarcasm, that, real bluntness.
Emily bluntness?
Yeah, Emily bluntness. I did like kind of the plot being a little different, because or a little exciting with the alien enemy, right? Knowing like what the future holds. So kind of like survival's almost impossible, and just finding seeing the human race try and figure out how to overcome that, and there is only one situation, there's only one chance, but it takes, however many hundreds or thousands of repetitions to kind of hone in on what that one specific way to beat them would be. So I felt like that was pretty interesting to watch. I feel like the acting was actually pretty top notch. Tom Cruise was stellar. Emily Blunt was fantastic. Yeah.
Bill
the rest
Paxton
of them
didn't
were
even know it was Bill Paxton.
I didn't even realize it was Bill Paxton. He was so incredible. He disappeared completely.
Seriously,
into his role.
I was like, this guy kind of looks familiar, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I've seen this guy before, but whatever. The score I thought also was pretty good. CGI wasn't, didn't look super CGI. I mean, there were definitely moments it did, but for the most part, aliens looked pretty realistic, and the stuff looked really cool. All of the crashes were pretty exciting as well. So I think I really like this one a lot.
Nice.
I was looking at my other grades. I don't know if I have it, how high I can realistically go. So I think I've got
it
right now at an 8. I mean, that's what I was thinking after watching it for the very first time.
It's on the same level
as
Jojo Rabbit. I agree.
I was around the 9s. I was like, I was actually like thoroughly entertained in every category. And it's really hard for me not to. But, looking at some of my other grades, I don't think I liked it as much as Jojo Rabbit or Castaway, but I think I did like it more than, Isle of Dogs and Hurt Locker even Avatar 2, like The Way of Water. Like, I think I liked it a little bit more.
Wow.
So I just got I enjoyed this a lot. So I'm going to go 8.5.
Nice, solid.
Yeah, 8.5 out of 10. Just thoroughly enjoyed it. Nothing super wrong with it.
I got to go through some time and figure out how often the person who picks the movie is not the highest grading. Because you're three quarters of a point above me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that means, sorry, like I always have to play this game, Brandon. But so that means you liked this movie as much as Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us Season 1.
I think so.
3,000 Years of Longing.
Inception.
You like this as much as Jurassic Park? See, that's the one that feels broken.
I had to say that one first to get a reaction from Matt.
That seems crazy to me. The other ones I can see. I mean, not Inception. That seems insane as well. To me, those two seem crazy that you like this at the same level as that.
Oh, and I see you rated Deadpool and Wolverine at 8.5. That's higher than I thought you would have put it.
I said the same thing.
Because like I said, I mean, trust me, while it had a lot of story problems, Deadpool and Wolverine was a shit ton of fun to watch.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was just, it was a thrill to see those characters. So I liked it for very different reasons.
Yeah. No, for sure. And if going into my rating, I know what, I know the area where I want to put it. And I'm bouncing between a 7.75 and a 7.5. And it's mainly based around the other movies I have around that area. Because, yes, this movie was really entertaining. It's like, I don't know, when you show someone one of these action movies from 2014 or whatever, you're like, you kind of feel like you know what you're getting into. But this one was a really fun ride to go on to. Like, as you guys were saying, the acting I thought was pretty solid. The CG itself, it seemed perfectly fine to me. Like, there wasn't really anything to point out that I thought looked really off or anything like that. So I thought they did a good job there. The visuals themselves were pretty on point. Like, the explosions and everything looked really awesome. And just the cleverness of, like, this sort of timeline storyline I really enjoyed. I thought they did some really good stuff with the story there. So that being said, there's a part of me that wants to put it higher, but I can't really see putting it in the same tiers, like, say, Midsummer or About Time that I have at 7.75 currently. So I think I have to put it at a 7.5, same levels like Twisters and The Fall Guy. Like, they were very, like, they, to me, they were entertaining movies and I had a good time watching them.
That's a good point.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I hear you. That's so funny because my About Time is at an 8, and I went one below About Time for mine.
Yeah.
7.5. Ooh, I really thought I was going to be the lowest, Jeff.
Nope. I hated it more, apparently.
You know,
you were close. You were close, but
you were a
Jeff
whole,
had, it was a struggle to get through this, right, Jeff?
Such a hard struggle. More Emily Blunt.
I'm down with that. Interesting. Dang you. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't have put, me personally, Tenet was my big line. It's like I just enjoy, I feel like I enjoyed Tenet more. You know, I don't know. Just because, to me, just because they don't explain stuff doesn't mean, you know, one story is necessarily better than the other. Just because they say that, they kind of are on the same level. But like Tenet just had felt like such more of a feat to me. Of impressive film feat than Edge of Tomorrow, which feels like, you know,
it
kind
felt
of
like standard
the
action from that
right?
time period.
That's what I was thinking. With a cool concept.
Yeah.
Totally. But yeah, as it honestly, if it ended at like maybe after the second act, I'd probably have a higher grade. Mm-hmm. But it just ended so, in my opinion, poopy. So it definitely went down the more I watched it as towards the end. I was like, damn it.
Yeah, I get that. And sometimes it's difficult to land the plane because you've got it up. Like, this concept is like, all right, cool. You've got all these, you know, plates spinning and you backed your characters into such a tight corner. It's like, all right, how are they going to get out of it? How are you going to successfully make sense of this ending? And I thought they did a good job with that. You clearly didn't. And that's interesting where our lines diverge.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't, in no way, shape, or form did anyone even try to explain why all of a sudden he went 2 days back or 3 days back realistically rather than the 2 days we've actually been going back.
And again, the Omega was dead, so I don't understand how the blood works if the thing
was
dead.
Just 24 hours, right?
Well, it wasn't 24 hours because he, like,
if anything,
it was
like
daytime,
day and a half, maybe, I don't know,
day, like, I mean, but he gets, so he, maybe he jumps back 24 hours, but then he has another day past where he got infected,
right?
So he got infected, even if he got infected the same time of day that he did 24 hours past where he's waking up, he has an additional to the end of the day then past that point because they roll into, you know, past his point of getting infected on the battlefield. So it's like if it bounces back 24 hours, but then you have like another half day. So it's rolling into the day that you get infected. You have to be done by the at midnight of that day, so you have like,
it's like Cinderella.
Get the shoe.
He will obviously turn into a pumpkin.
And he just fucking ripped off Cinderella. Lazy motherfuckers.
Hey, this guy had written this story before Cinderella.
Yeah.
I wrote this before books were even a thing. Okay, we're still writing a newspaper. James Cameron's also, speaking of Doug Liman being like, oh, this is going to redefine how you think of sequels. James Cameron at Disney is out there being like, oh, Avatar, it's going to be so great. While we didn't, you know, people don't want more amazing visuals. We still have them. We still have them. But it really is going to, I'm like, God, dude, you don't, chill out. Leave us alone. We can't start this early. We have like another over a year left before you can see.
Just take your success, shut up, we'll talk about it in a year.
And don't get me wrong, I understand Disney was like, get the fuck on the stage and go talk about it. But you know, he doesn't need to be, oh, it's gonna be so amazing.
Yeah, everyone's gonna go see it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Jeff, what do you think about the name change? It's no longer the Seed Bearer. Are you up in arms? Are you ready to burn down Disney?
Avatar, I bet you he didn't even know it was called the Seed Bearer.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Are you talking about Avatar 3? Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I was waiting for them to call it Avatar 3 Dune because they're going to go to sand dunes now.
No. Well,
no, I don't think so.
So I think that's my joke because they're just hitting all the elements.
See, that's what it feels like, Brandon. They change it from Seed Bearer, which I assume they might have gone the desert or somewhere where they're growing fucking trees or some shit. Instead, it's fire and ash. And
See, another element.
Yeah, no, you are correct. They just switched element. They decided to go fire, which is supposed to like represent like emotions, volcanoes. And then ash is supposed
anger.
To represent like the repercussions and the.
It's going
to
be the dawn of the Planet of the Apes, but Avatar version.
That'd be bad.
I'm so fucking
God, if a
excited
monkey pops
for that.
Up, if a monkey or ape.
Shot for shot God. Remake with blue people? Fuck yeah.
No one says anything, but they remake the original Planet of the Apes, but they literally just CG the Na'vi in there and don't say a fucking thing about it. Oh my God. Like what's that Kung Fu movie where they just CG'd the green screened the white guy in it? Oh my God. It's so Kung Fu Pow, maybe? No, not Panda. Sorry.
Oh, was this the one you were telling us about?
I've been talking about it recently. I'm not sure why.
I don't remember what it's called.
I think it's Kung Pao, maybe. Yeah, Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Yeah,
2002.
Oh, I've heard about that. I never saw it, but
where they literally like they took an old, old I think Chinese kung fu movie, and then they literally just dubbed sounds out of it, and they like replaced people's voices, and then they see like green screened the main guy into it. It's so funny, dude. It's so
I remember
awful,
seeing trailers
so
for
funny.
That when I was a kid. Because he said 2002, right?
Yes.
I remember seeing trailers for it and I wanted to see it, but yeah, my parents did not want to take me.
Does this look familiar?
Yes.
<He's> doing...
Yep.
I did not know that until I started going through this. Oh yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. He fights a cow.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Oh yeah, that's where he has to grab the things are on his nipples and he has to like grab it. Anyways. the chick runs around and going wee 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 wee. Briad. All right. But yeah, that'd be sweet if they did that with Planet of the Apes with a blue person. Just one blue person running around.
I'm here for it. Plus it would save on the budget for sure.
Yeah, I would assume so. Well, they've already probably spent all that money. Let's be honest.
I know, right?
How far through the movie do you think they are?
I feel like they're done. I thought I heard that they were done shooting it, and that it's just been editing and CG.
I thought they were like shooting 2, 3, and maybe even 4 all in the same production schedule, but then they're splitting it all up into all these other movies.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Or 2 and 3, and then I thought 4 and 5 were more mixed together production wise, but I don't know.
So weird thing, the guy who made Kung Fu Pow Enter the Fist also wrote Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty, Cowboys and Aliens. Also, he wrote all of those.
Interesting. That tracks.
And Thumb Wars. He's writing. What the fuck is this? It's called Thumb Wars 9.
Thighs. These are hilarious,
Sky
dude.
Skipper?
Oh my God, these are great. I remember seeing this shit.
it's
so ridiculous.
Wait, do they have faces though, if this is the right one?
I would assume they're going to cut to that at some point.
God, because the faces were just like ridiculous.
Is it drawn or is it like
they're like
googly
the
eyes?
Old, like that,
nice.
Like where they have.
Jesus,
dude, the original Thumb Wars were
every
hilarious.
Hand has a thumb.
Oh, and then their lightsabers come out of their heads, and then they make the noises themselves with their mouths. They're like.
All right, that was too much. I shouldn't have done that. That was on me.
Oh man, Thumb Wars, best.
All right. We've been done for a while. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah, we gotta get out of here.
I gotta finish packing. I gotta drive to Grand Junction.
Good luck with that. Hey, Matt, drive safe.
That it? That's it?
Make good choices.
Usually there's like three or four.
I hope the air conditioning works for you.
You go through all like the list
drink
of things
water.
I'm doing.
Don't
that
forget
week.
To drink water.
Hopefully you throw well. Hopefully Mushi's okay. Hopefully this
I hope you sleep well tonight, because I know driving that far is pretty difficult.
He's used to it at this point.
Unfortunately. I'll stop at Culver's. That's always my stop for food.
I hope the food tastes well.
Oh, thank you.
It's really good.
I don't die or anything.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Nothing for Jeff.
Jeff, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hopefully I see you tomorrow.
Yeah. please be there tomorrow and the next day.
And the next day.
All right, guys, we're getting out of here. Have a good rest of your days. Thanks for listening to our discussion on, what do we call it? Alien Shoot 'Em Up.
Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, Alien Shoot 'Em Up.
Alien Shoot 'Em Up. I love that title. Part 1, dash 2.
No, part 2. Nah, that's too long. I don't want to make my column in the freaking spreadsheet even larger.
That was a fun conversation, fun movie. Go check it out if you can.
Next month, Nostalgia. We have no idea what movies yet.
We do not know as of right now what movies we're talking about. So if you have any ideas, any nostalgic movies that you guys have loved forever and love every time you see, look back fondly, let us know wherever you want to talk to us. We're all over socials. So come say hello. Let us know what movies you want us to cover, what you thought of Edge of Tomorrow, all the good stuff. Like, subscribe, be a good person. And, you know, do a good thing. And that good thing would be listen to us. Please. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I like the thought of someone about to do something bad and went, you know what? Yeah. Remember Brandon's words? Be a good person.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm here for. That's really why I'm here. All right. Well, until then, enjoy the movies. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.